Good morning. May the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. I'm very thankful to my God for this week. It is a very important time for the Concordia Seminary family as we celebrate the presence of the students of the Ethnic Immigrant Institute of Theology this week here. Welcome. Also the students of the Center for Hispanic Studies and the attendees and presenters of the 8th annual lecture in Hispanic Latino Theology and Missions and 3rd Hispanic Lutheran Theological Consultation. What a title for a week. Impressive. I'm so grateful for what I learned last night and this morning and yesterday afternoon about immigration. What a topic. I myself am an immigrant. My family and I moved from Argentina to the United States some years ago. My grandparents moved from Russia to Argentina some time ago. My grandparents' grandparents moved from Germany to Russia some time ago. So in about 4 or 5 generations, we were all over the world already. I consider myself Hispanic Latino, although there is a German side of me, and that's why the first language I learned was German. German was also the first language I lost immediately after I started with grade school. To understand what follows now in my homily, you need some knowledge of German. Very little. If you don't know any German, please pretend you do, so you don't feel left out. German language is quite different to the English language, not only in vocabulary, but also mainly in the structure of the language, the way the language is structured, grammar. For instance, Germans can put 5 nouns all together and create one single noun. I shouldn't say single, one noun. And you can read all of them and you can see each of the words. Now the challenge is to get to know the meaning of it. Or a good German writer will write a 2-3 line long sentence using only one verb at the end, right? And if you are very good, you can write an entire paragraph like this and use a one and only verb at the end of the paragraph. That's good German writing. So, one time I took a course with a renowned German-American Lutheran theologian, Paul Tillich. Okay, if you could pretend that you knew German, now you can pretend that I took a class with Reverend Dr. Paul Tillich. As a good German professor, he will start classes at 8 a.m. pünktlich, sharp. And one time, exercising my Latino side of me, I was on time, but 10 minutes late. I opened the door and professor was teaching, giving his speech, and everybody was attentive, very attentive to his teaching. So I sneaked in and I sat by my friend. I said, "Did I miss much?" "I don't know, he hasn't got to the verb yet." Languages are fun. Sometimes they can be very challenging too. Last October, and this is not something that I'm pretending right now, this is true. Last October I had the opportunity to attend the Lutheran Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, sponsored by our CTCR, LCMS CTCR on confessional leadership. They brought together 120 Lutherans from over 40 countries, representing about 20 million Lutherans. At that time, many churches, church representatives had the opportunity to share with us their challenges, their blessings in their world area. The bishop of the Lutheran Church in Ethiopia told us that one of the major challenges that they have is that there are more than 400 languages in their own country. Now, despite that challenge, this church is still committed to bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus in the language of every tribe. You know that I work for the multilingual department at CPH. I can't imagine myself being the head of the multilingual department of their publishing house. According to the last census in the United States of America, we have more than 400 languages that are spoken every day in this country. How come? Don't we all speak English, or some sort of it? In some way, most of the population of this country communicates in English, but the church still has the challenge of reaching out to the different ethnic groups, the immigrants, that need to hear the gospel in their own language. Why? There is something about our own language that is very important. When our Lord confused the languages after the flood because people in clear disobedience to God's command wanted to remain together, build a big tower, and become famous, a new chapter in history started. God did a great job in confusing people's languages. Since then, many cannot communicate because of language barriers. God really messed us up. We are still confused today. As a church body, we don't even know what to do with all these immigrants we have around, and how to speak their language, and how to communicate the gospel of our Lord. A few words from Acts chapter 4. We heard them. We heard the readings already, but I will want to emphasize some selected verses. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." Many things happened on that day in Pentecost. The confusion that started in Genesis 11 somehow came to an end. There was a mighty rushing wind, divided tongues of fire, the filling of the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues, astonishment, amazement, perplexity. All these external signs of God's action manifested at the same time. And although the coming of the Holy Spirit is central among all the other manifestations of God's power, these sentences are also very important. How is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty work of God. Why was that fact so important? Didn't they all speak one common language, or Greek or Latin or Aramaic? What was God's reason to deliver his message in their very own tongues, even though they had their own common language? By the way, if you Google it, you'll find that UNESCO set February 21st, since 1991, the International Mother Languages Day. I discovered that 3 days ago. They did so in order to promote linguistic diversity and multilingual education to foment the importance of teaching in their mother language. I like the expression mother language, because our own native tongue is the one that was taught by our mothers. Mom taught me how to talk. And I know you can't remember when you were a baby, but picture it. Picture yourself in the arms of your mother. It is a language we learned while we were nursed. It is the language we learn to speak while our mothers hold us tight when we were afraid or sick. It is the language we learned when our mothers picked us up from the floor and healed our wounded knees as they used comforting words to calm us down. These comforting words do not mean the same thing if they are said in a foreign language, because they are not accompanied by mom's caring attitude. God chooses to speak to people in a way that through every word he can communicate grace, comfort, love, compassion. In every word he wants to embrace us. God speaks our names in the same way our mothers called our names. It is for this reason that God decided to speak his mighty works in the tongue of every nation present at Pentecost. God wants to communicate with us the same way our parents did in our early years, in a language that is dear to us. So, did Jesus speak 400 languages? He could have. I doubt he did. He left that challenge to the church. Jesus spoke only one language, the language you and I cannot speak. Jesus spoke the language he learned from his heavenly Father, the language he learned at home in heaven. It is called body language, or the language of the cross. No one on earth spoke the mighty works of God more loudly, more clearly, and more convincingly than Jesus on the cross. Jesus on the cross speaks loudly about our sin, my sin. We dare not to forget that. He speaks directly into our hearts to wipe out any confusion we might have regarding our sinful nature. The cross reminds us who we are. We are condemned creatures. Jesus on the cross also speaks loudly about the Father's compassion towards us, about the Father's mercy and grace for us. Jesus' body language on the cross changed our life and our eternity without saying much verbally. From the cross, God speaks words of comfort to our wounded hearts, calming us down, as Mom used to do with us. Can we all learn 400 languages? I cannot. But the church can, and should, and need to. The Holy Spirit, central in Pentecost and responsible for the miracle of the languages and the conversions, is still active today. As far as I know, the Holy Spirit didn't lose any power. The congregation where I worship with my family in the St. Louis area has about 3,000 members. It took us about 130 years to be where we are right now. In Pentecost, through one sermon and many languages, God created a 3,000 baptized member congregation in one day. Do you see the possibilities? The immigrants are here. We got the languages. We got the message. God provides the power and the wisdom. Jesus is still speaking directly to our hearts from the empty cross and the empty tomb to encourage us to go forward in the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life in heaven. You cannot speak 400 languages, speak the body language of the cross. People will understand how much God loves them. In the Christian church, Jesus is our common language. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.